Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for the privilege of speaking to you this morning and sharing with you God's word. Thank you for the beautiful music, to the bell choir for illustrating to us the need for us all to work together in order to make music to the Lord. Our scripture reading this morning was one of the best-known passages in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Meditating on that passage one day got me to thinking about gifts. Everyone loves a gift. Children love a gift. But I think women have a special appreciation for gifts. It doesn't matter what the occasion is. It might be a birthday, Christmas, Valentine's Day, an anniversary. We like to get gifts. Gifts make us feel special, appreciated. I also enjoy giving gifts. The surprise on the face of the recipient. The light at the thought of one being remembered, the pleasure they show in the gift itself. I even enjoy shopping for gifts given enough time and money. When I do such shopping, I try to think about what the individual would want. What are their interests? What would they really value and appreciate? What would bring them pleasure? The first recorded human gifts were those of Cain and Abel. Their parents had been driven from the garden, but given a promise. They had been instructed to bring sacrifices to God that would remind them of the cost of that promise, the blood of their Creator. This is what God wanted from them, to know that they understood the cost of disobedience. We can read about their gifts in Genesis 4, 3. Genesis 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the first of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Imagine the two altars. One piled with a beautiful assortment of fruits and vegetables. The other, the remnants of a living being. One offering took into account the recipient of the gift. The other, the preferences of the giver. One was gladly received, the other rejected. There was another gift that God commended, not a large gift. In fact, the giver tried to give it anonymously. She hadn't much to give. But the poor widow was so grateful for God's promises to her, that she wanted to give a gift of something. The normal way to give gifts in that culture was to take an offering to the temple and put it in the offering box that stood in the entrance to the temple. So one day she took all she had, two tiny little coins, making her way to the door of the temple she watched as the rich came with their large bags and deposited them in the offering box with a loud clank. Watching her opportunity, she slipped forward and put in her few coins and hurried on, but not before Jesus had noticed. Watching her put that offering in, Christ commented on the magnanimity of the offering. She gave all that she had for a living, putting her full faith in God to provide what she needed. Mary also offered a totally unsolicited gift, a gift prompted by love so deep that she seemed unable to restrain herself. It was at a feast, the home of Simon, that Mary impulsively offered her gift. John 3:12 tells us about that gift. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 12. It says, "Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair." Mary had heard Jesus speak of his coming death, and it grieved her deeply. She wanted to do something for him, and in anticipation of that death, she had taken all the money that she had available and had put it into a box of ointment. Okay, can you hear me now? All right, we hope to get rid of the little distracting noise. Thank you. So she brought this alabaster box, sealed, keep the wonderful scent inside. Just couldn't quite figure out, because she wanted him to appreciate it. And so, when she heard about the banquet to be given in his honor, she took her bottle, quietly slipped in among the men reclining at the table. She didn't hope not to be noticed, but have you ever been in a room where someone suddenly opened a bottle of expensive perfume? It's kind of hard to hide that, isn't it? And so as she poured her ointment on his head and his feet, men looked around and said, "Oh my, what a waste! Why wasn't this sold and the money given to the poor?" But Christ commended her gift. You can read the whole story there in John, again in Luke. That gift was an encouraging promise for our Savior of the honor and praise of those who would be saved by his sacrifice, the fragrance of which wafts down to us even today. So my question is, do people still offer this kind of gift to Christ? Can we still find people willing to give and give from their hearts? I'd like to share a story with you this morning. Written by Braden Pewitt, was first published in Adventist Frontiers magazine, so if you get that magazine, you may have read this before. He titles it simply, "Blood." There is a patient who needs O plus blood tomorrow morning. Are you willing to give? The phone message made me feel sick to my stomach. I don't know why giving blood makes me nauseous. It's actually a completely irrational emotion, and I'm not proud to experience it. But reasoning with myself never seems to help my fluttering heart or my churning stomach. I put the phone down on my nightstand, tucked my mosquito net in, and leaned back on my pillow. I let out a long, pitiful sigh before I explained to Johanna, his wife, what the message was about. We were just going to bed for the night, so I had 12 hours to think about it, though I knew for sure that I would let them take my blood. I also hate going to the hospital. Even in America, where we sanitize everything, including our pain and sorrow. But here in Cambodia, the hospital experience is not sanitized. It's raw and it's real. I was ushered into the tiny emergency room by one of the doctors. The door was open. The floor was dirty. And family members stood around with blank expressions, watching the three suffering children on beds. One girl, perhaps aged 9, had an enormously swollen abdomen. Another girl, who looked about 12, was unconscious with an oxygen mask on her face. The last girl in the corner, maybe 10 years old, was completely white from anemia. The doctor pointed to her and said, "She's the one who needs blood. Thanks for coming. I'll call the technician. Just have a seat." And so there I sat, in the middle of 3 trauma cases, completely helpless to do anything except offer my blood, my own life blood. Tears stung my eyes. I suddenly longed to give my blood if I could only save these precious little lives. I walked over to the bed where the anemic girl lay. Her mother sat on the bed. Mother and father sat on the bed with her. Every eye in the room followed me. As I sat down next to the girl and put my arm on the father's shoulder, "Where are you from?" I asked in Khmer. "We're from Dumchi Village," the man answered in Khmer. "Do you speak Nong?" I asked again in Khmer. "We do," he answered, still in Khmer. "Well, so do I," I said in the family's heart language. And you should have seen their faces. We had an immediate connection. He grabbed my hand and began wildly shaking it while spouting, "Oh, you speak our language! My son, you speak our language. I'm so glad you speak our language." It was then that I told them of my mission. It's difficult to find words to explain the wonder, maybe awe, that welled up in the father's eyes as I pointed to my arm where they would take the blood. "I want to help your daughter," I said. "I have plenty of blood, and she desperately needs some, so I will share mine so she can live." But at that moment, the father's eyes were drawn away from mine to the bed right next to us. I glanced up to see a doctor calmly administering CPR to the limp girl on oxygen. Her mother stood there blankly watching, as if she were in another world. The father, too, just stood there. Every eye now turned to the girl we all knew, without a word, had just slipped away from us into the darkness we all fear. Time stood still.
Each one watched, seeing ourselves on that table, or our little ones on that table where the doctor worked. But there was nothing to do. The doctor finally stopped. He glanced up at me and shook his head. Then he slowly turned away. Have you ever watched a mother lose her little one forever? She turns to the child without a tear and touches her tenderly, looking into the little face. She expects life, for she cannot accept anything less. And there she stands, waiting, listening, hoping. I was forced to watch her, though I wanted to turn. I was forced to share the moment with her, for I could not get away. And it was as if I was watching all of mankind at that moment. All of mankind drifting further and further away from our mother. The mother heart of our God. Have you ever watched a mother lose her little one forever? Then you might understand this part of our God. In that moment, I saw God leaning over us, calling us, waiting for us, losing us. When the hoping passes, and the darkness clutches, the mother finally begins to weep. For she knows the child is gone. But she does not turn away. She bends over to be closer. She sees herself reflected in the little eyes. She sees herself mirrored in that young face. In that moment, she is losing her own heart, her own life. For that child's life came from her own beating heart, and it cannot leave without taking hers with it. And I saw our God's heart leaning over us. God's reflection is indeed captured in us. God's own beating life runs through us to lose us. Lose his own heart. I managed to leave the room before the tears fell from my face. I stood alone outside the hospital rooms, facing away from the scene playing out before me. But I found my eyes drawn back to the mother, time after time. For in her eyes, I saw my God. If this be God, how dare I fear his eternal justice? The doctor startled me by asking me to follow him into another room, take my blood. It was time, and I followed him, ever with the mother on my mind. I lay back, my arm palm up near the edge of the bed. I felt the jab of the cold metal. I felt my blood pulsing as my heart toiled to give up its lifeblood. I felt dizzy, weak. Then I glanced up to see the father of the anemic girl I'd come to help. He stood in the doorway, watching me, tears standing in his eyes. He had seen me weeping. He knew I mourned the loss of a little life, and he knew that I was now giving my own blood to save his daughter. I smiled at him. His nod and pursed lips spoke more than any words. Oh, how I hoped he could see the love that I was sharing came from above. Love from a mother's heart. But no gift, no matter how self-sacrificing, can begin to match the gift that God gave to us.
one that we do not deserve, but is graciously given. And that is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. What must it have been like for Christ to leave the adoration of angels, freedom of the powers of the Godhead, the light and glories of heaven, to come to this world? A world full of darkness, evil, pain, be born as a tiny, helpless infant. Have you held a newborn recently? Have you noticed how helpless they are? They can't even support their own heads. To go from all-powerful to totally helpless, what a huge leap. And it was risky. What if it didn't work out? What if there was no woman willing to accept the scorn and ridicule, the responsibility, pain, of bearing a child of such questionable birth? What if he succumbed to temptation? What if no one accepted the offer of salvation? He grew up poor. He was rejected by his neighbors, abandoned by his friends, and cruelly killed by those he came to save. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Philippians 2, 5 to 8 instructs us, let this mind be in you, this attitude, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This was the choice Christ made, the choice to give up everything in order to give us everything. What a matchless gift! That gift was for you. Gift was for me. So what can we do today to show our love for him and our willing acceptance of his gift? What could possibly be valuable enough to reflect the value we place on his offer of eternal life? What gift would he desire? What would bring him the greatest pleasure? The gift he wants most is your whole heart. What would that look like in your life today? What would happen if you gave him your whole heart? In examining that question, Don and I have chosen to share God's gift by joining Adventist Frontier Missions to serve as field directors for missionaries in Southeast Asia. You would like to explore that way of giving back to Christ. Why don't you see us afterwards? You could help others learn who otherwise would have no opportunity to learn about this marvelous offer Christ has given to us. But what would this look like in your life? What is at the center of your heart right now? Look deeply.
Is it money? Is it something? A hobby or a pleasure that you enjoy to the utmost and are reluctant to give up? Christ wants your whole heart. Has he blessed you through this year? There may have been losses, but as you look back, can you see his hand carrying you through, healing your heart, stretching your dollars, fulfilling your needs? Will you willingly give him your all today? This is not an idle question. We must all make this choice each day. What are you going to do? Are you willing to give it all, or only some part of it? Loving Father, you have heard our desire to give you our all. Now we ask for the guidance of your Spirit to help us to know what that would look like in our life. Whether it's going or sending or sharing, reaching out to others to share the news that you have asked us to share about your great love for mankind, so that we will not need to watch and weep as people go to their graves not knowing you. Thank you, Father, for all that you give us, for the privilege of offering back to you all that we have. Be with us as we go from this place, and may your Spirit direct each, we ask, in Jesus' name.